Good morning. It is good to see everyone here, and it's good to be here. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16. I would like to ask you to please stand, if you're able, as I read from God's Word. Today I'm preaching a message called The Gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 1, 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so thankful for the reading of your word and how powerful your word is. And God, we pray that your word will impact our hearts first and change our lives. We ask and pray, dear God, that we will be devoted to your word, that we will not be ashamed of it in any way, shape, or form, because your son Christ Jesus gave himself on the cross. He was not ashamed of us. So, Lord, let us boldly proclaim your word to every person that we meet out in the neighborhoods and out in those streets and in our workplaces. And, Father, as I preach this message, Lord, let everything, God, that I say be from you, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. And we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. When it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are to go into the world and boldly proclaim it. We need to share the true depth and the meaning with those that are lost. We are not to be timid or afraid because Jesus has given us this charge this day and in days past to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, something I like about this passage that I read this morning is you all know what kind of a person Paul was beforehand. Paul, at his original life, he was Saul. He was a murderer. I mean, this guy literally would have Christians rounded up and he would literally slaughter them because he could not stand God. He couldn't stand the things of God. And he certainly, as Saul, hated the Christians so bad that he wanted to basically get rid of every one of them so that he didn't have anything to do with them anymore. But Saul had an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see a total change of character take place in Saul on the road to Damascus. And then his name is changed to Paul. And then what happens? When he became a Christian, he had a change of heart. He had a whole different lifestyle. Life basically had a whole new meaning for him. So he went from hating everybody and hating Christians and hating God to he became a man who he was one of the greatest writers of the New Testament. And on top of this, he suffered a lot of persecution. He was beaten. He went through so much darkness and depth in his life, and he still proclaimed the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I think is so neat about what Paul says in the first part of verse 16. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. I'm going to stop right there. So see, Paul is already recognizing that there's something about the power of God that can change even the most vilest person. He is noting that it was salvation, the salvation of the Lord Jesus, that brought the change about in his life. So when you and I were sinners, well, we didn't love the Lord. I mean, I want to say something here. There's a lot of people who aren't saved that are good people. And there's also a lot of people who aren't saved that are terrible people. And it's just because they have never met and they've never been introduced to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you and I, as a lost soul, came to Christ, we found out that there is a brand new meaning of life. Once we received Jesus into our life, we were changed from the inside out. Life had a brand new meaning, and we no longer looked at life the same. How many of you had that kind of experience when you got saved? Because I tell you what, if you've met Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and life hasn't changed at all, I'd go back and look at my heart again. I'm not judging nobody. I'm just saying, I'd go back and look at my life again, see where it's at. But Paul said, I am not ashamed. Paul was showing his boldness and confidence in the message that he preached. How many of us are doing that today? Paul didn't care where he went, and he didn't care who was around him. He boldly proclaimed he never backed down. And that's the power that God gives you and I today, that we will boldly proclaim the gospel message of Jesus Christ. So if you go somewhere, and how many of you have done this? You'll get around somebody and you say, I need to witness to them, but I don't want to do it today. I'll do it tomorrow. I want you to know this. I had somebody mention to me the other night, we was talking at a store, and he said, this guy came, they had revival this last week at their church, and the pastor that was bringing the message, he said, every time we're supposed to go witness to somebody, we always say, well, I'll go and do it tomorrow. He says, do you know where that word tomorrow comes from? He said, it comes from the enemy. The enemy will try to throw everything he can in front of you to derail you, to distract you, or to make you stray away from the task or the charge that Christ has laid out before us. So, now in my life, when I first got saved, I will honestly say this. When I first got saved, I told you I used to hang around with a bunch of bad young guys. Well, we thought we were bad. We had leather jackets and stuff, and we just thought we were cool, and we thought we were the bad. We ran the south side of the high school. Man, we were just the bad of the bad. And after high school, I got saved, but I still wanted to hang on to my friends. And when I was around them, I was ashamed to let them know what had happened to me. I would basically act like they were acting. But I'll tell you something that was going on inside of me. It was literally wrenching my heart out of my body because I've had this experience with Jesus. He made everything brand new, but yet I'm back here still in my past, still trying to play around in the ashes that was left of a fire that got put out. I was trying to rekindle these flames. And I started to feel the Lord deal with my life. And the Lord said, look, you can't serve me and you can't serve the devil. You've got to be one way or you have to be the other. And that's what Paul was like in his life. He was delivered from his past and he never went back. Paul took a journey with the Lord and he went forward. You know, the Bible says that it's not good for a man to put his hand to the plow and then to look behind him. Basically what that's saying, when you come to Christ and you're living for the Lord Jesus, you're looking straight ahead. You don't need to look at what was behind. I hear a lot of people say this too. People go, well, I wish life was like what we were talking about this in Sunday school. Laura said, people go, don't you wish you could be a kid again? And she said, no, I wouldn't want to be. But I know what life was like back then. People say, well, I want to go. I would love to go back and then I could change things. No, you wouldn't. You sure wouldn't. But people, we spend too much time looking back behind us at the way things used to be. Or as we look ahead, we start wishing that things were this way or that way. And we're not really dedicating our lives to the service of the Lord Jesus. But when you look at Paul's life, Paul made a commitment. Yes, he was a human. Yes, he made mistakes. He was not perfect in the flesh. Because Paul said a lot. He said, there are things that I do in the flesh. I do things I don't want to do. But he also said, but then I want to do the things of the Spirit. So he had battles, but he stuck to the call that God put on his life was to preach. And that's what Christ is expecting out of you and I today. You and I need not to be ashamed. The Bible says that if we are ashamed of Christ here on the face of this earth, then He will be ashamed of us before the Father. And that's not my words. That is written in the Holy Word of God. Paul preached the message in a world that was full of false gods. There was weakness and foolishness and evil. But Paul didn't care what people said about him. And that's something that influences us today. If somebody mocks us, well, we just tuck our tails and we turn and go another way. And then people get so defeated. I want to tell you this. When you are living for Christ, when you are out telling others about Jesus, that's why I say it's so important to stay studied up in the Word. It is so important to be prayed up, and it is very important to abstain from all appearance of evil. It is important. God gave us a brain to think with, and with that brain, we should know Christ is my Lord and Savior. I've got an abundant life, but I've got to obey His commandments, and I've got to stay committed to Him. It's kind of like when you get, for those who've been married, now you know when you get married, you enter into a relationship. You're coming into a covenant. And in that covenant, you're saying, I'm going to stay committed no matter what comes our way. Now, I'll tell you what was funny. When my brother-in-law and my sister got married, my grandfather stood up there going through the vows, and he was making Kevin repeat everything. And now Kevin's still not a Christian, but I'm praying for that man to get saved. But he got to some points of making some of these vows, and Kevin stopped, and you could hear him gulp and swallow real hard. He wasn't so sure about what he was saying. But I want you to know this. You made a commitment to a life partner, and that's a commitment you got to stand by. You've got to stand by that person and say, no matter what we go through, I am here for you. I've got you. That's why God took a rib out of the side of man, because when He put that life partner there, she is to be by His side to stand through thick and thin. And that's how it is with the Lord Jesus. He shed His blood for you and I, and He gave us the Holy Spirit that you and I would be empowered when we're out witnessing, when we're out testifying of what the Lord has done in our life. We should do it in a way that people believe what we're saying. You ever have someone try to give you a sales pitch, and you know that what they're trying to sell you, they really don't believe in, and you can tell it? That's how a lot of Christians get picked apart, is because they're not really walking in the commitment that they told the Lord that they would, and now they're out here trying to preach out in the streets, and it ain't going so well. That's why we need to stay committed to the Lord. When we are committed to the Lord and we have a right relationship with Him, people will notice it. People in the world that live in darkness, they will see the light that is burning within you. And I guarantee you that people who used to know Paul beforehand and saw him afterward, they knew he had had an experience with Jesus Christ. They knew he had been radically changed. I mean, beforehand in my life, before it was changed, it was doom and gloom. It was bad. And when I walked into the prayer chapel that night with my friends to pray and get saved, I saw people on their knees getting saved, receiving Christ, that I knew what they were about in school, and I knew what their lifestyle was like, and it had a profound impact on me. I don't know how they are today because I haven't seen them in many years. But the only thing I could do is I could bear witness on my life when my knees hit the floor that night and I released that old life. I basically told that old man, I'm cutting you loose. You're gone. You're out of here. I don't want no more relationship with you. Because my life has been given a fresh start. I've got a whole new ministry to walk in now. And I cannot be ashamed. And why can I not be ashamed? Because it is the power of God. The gospel message is not just a set of ideas. It's a dynamic force from God. It brings about salvation. God's power saves people from sin and judgment. So see, it's the power of God that's at work in your life that's making you who you are. Now, you remember the song you sang as a kid? I am a promise. I am a possibility. I am a promise with a capital P. I'm a great big bundle of potentiality. I'm learning to hear God's voice, and I'm trying to make the right choice. Well, I'll tell you what, that's what the Christian life is about. You've got to rely on the power of God to change your heart and life. I've had people come to me and they say, Brother Jim, I've gotten saved, but I can't quit cussing. I can't quit gossiping. I can't quit this. I just feel like I'm not saved. And I say, do you feel like the devil's tormenting you in some way? Yes. I said, then don't worry about it. I said, see, the devil knows you got saved and he's trying to fight against you. But I said, you have got to rely on the power of the Lord to change your life. Now, here's what you have to do to receive that power. You've got to submit to His will and authority. And you have got to let everything go in your life. And you've got to have trust and faith in Him to move in your life how He wants to move. I had somebody come up to me and said, oh, I tell you what, said, I'm the most impatient person and I've been praying for patience. And it seems like the more I pray for patience, I just have more and more troubles. Why? I said, God's answering your prayers. Well, what? What do you mean? How's God answering my prayers if I keep having more trouble? I said, well, didn't you just tell me you've been praying for patience? Yeah. I said, then God's allowing things to come along in your life to help you get the patience you want. I said, be careful what you pray for and how you pray for it. But when you rely on God's power, through God's... Now listen to me. It's only by God's power that you and I are able to do what we do, not by our own. We can't do anything because we don't have the power and the authority that God has. I mean, when the power of God is at work in your life and people see that the Lord is working, and that's how we come together and have the kind of fellowship that we do as Christian people. We bring this power together and we come together as one body and we start letting Christ rule in our church house within the church body. Let Him be the head and us be the body and do what the head wants. Then people in the outside world will see that that church is on fire for Christ and that the Lord is working according to His will and how He wants things done. When we let that power come into our hearts and lives, it saves us and it brings the salvation. Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. And to everyone that believeth, salvation is not automatic. It is received by those who put their faith and trust and belief in Jesus. It's not something that just hits you in the head one day. It doesn't just fall on you. You've got to come to a point and realize yourself, man, my heart's empty. My life is not complete. I'm not walking in the joy and the fellowship of the Lord. And you know what? The Lord works on people's heart. Now, I told you this before. I prayed for my mother-in-law 10 long years. And I prayed and prayed and prayed for my mother-in-law to get saved. And when I would witness to her, I would witness to her, and she would turn her face toward the wall and not even look at me. And then she wouldn't speak to me for 2 to 3 weeks. She held a grudge against me. Now, I won't say where she went to church, but she was full-blown devout Catholic. And she believed one way. And I'm telling you what, about 5 or so months before she passed, she finally got saved. Now, I want to tell you this. The Lord worked on her heart. But the moment she got saved and we walked into her room at the care center that she was being rehabbed in for her hip injury, I said, Mom, I called my mother-in-law Mom because she was the only mom really that I had at that time. And so I said, Mom, did something happen to you today? I heard. And she's smiling from ear to ear. And she said, I got saved. I'm going to heaven. And see, she came to a point, and she was telling people. Now, she wasn't like this before, Effie. She would not even go out into the streets and tell people nothing about Jesus. But she was telling people at the Marion Bounce Back what happened to her and what was going on. And when she went back home, she's telling family members how she got saved. And people in the family were so, they were acting surprised. You ever had someone come up to you and go, man, I got saved. And you knew what kind, and you're going, what? Really? That's kind of how I thought my dearest and best friend, his name's Mike. I ain't going to say his last name. I found out if I say people's names, people, I know him. So anyway, Mike was in my group of guys, basically. Leather jacket, long hair, just tough, bad. John Wayne's. Well, anyway, Mike calls me one morning early. And we're talking 3:30 in the morning. Mike's calling me. I'm like, hey, man, what's going on? He says, I need you to come over to my house. I said, really? He goes, yeah. Now, Mike's mom and dad were Christians, good people. His sister was a Christian. His brother was a Christian. Mike was not saved. Mike was pretty mean. I'll just say that. I got over to his house. He's sitting down there in the den just by himself. He said, I was watching a show on TCT called Fire by Night. And he said, I got saved. And I was like, what? Whoa. I was excited. I didn't stand there and question him or try to figure out the process, but I knew what he was saying was true. He had had an encounter. The Lord Jesus worked on his heart, and the power of God brought him to a place, and when he got saved, his life turned completely around. And now I get cracked up because Mike used to have the prettiest hair I ever saw on a guy. It'd come down to his ribs. And man, he washed it and he took care. But he had the prettiest long hair I'd ever seen on a guy. And now he ain't got no hair on his head whatsoever. But I'll tell you what Mike's been through. Mike has been telling people about the Lord. He's lived his life for Jesus. And God blessed him with a beautiful wife and two of the most, a precious son and a precious daughter. And Mike plays in a praise band at his church. And actually, on November 7th, we're having a night of praise in Marion, Illinois, just where they... And Mike is in that group. And it's so neat when I see Mike up there. He radiates Jesus. That's what I'm talking about, this power. The power that comes from on high is what changes you. And it's that power that you have to let it change you. Now, lastly, in verse 16, it says, to the Jew and then to the Greek. The gospel is meant for, listen, to every person regardless of your background. Now, what's being said here, it's historical and a covenantal priority. Now, God's plan of salvation, it was first revealed through the Jewish people. That's what that's saying. It was brought to the Jews first, and then it's extended all to everyone else, the Gentiles. That's you and I, the Gentiles. So we've come to an understanding of who Christ is. And I tell you what, if the Lord has turned and delivered your heart and life, then that right there ought to cause you to go out and witness to others and not be afraid. Even hearing the words, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. Now, I want to say something. You can sit there and listen to that with the physical ears, and you can let it hit your brain, and you just might say, ah, that's how a lot of people do. But I want you to listen and take that in with your heart. If you deny Christ before men, if you're ashamed of Him, He will deny you before His Father. Now, that's a big pill to swallow right there. You want to talk about something that'll choke you going down, that right there will. We, as Christian people, we need to listen with our hearts. And we better get our lives together, and we better get some priorities in order. How do we quit cussing? How do we quit drinking? Or how do we quit gossiping? How do we quit doing all the bad things of the world? You've got to submit to God, just like Paul did. You've got to submit, and you've got to do it multiple times a day. And then you have got to say, I am committed in this relationship. If you're going to follow Jesus, you can't do it half-heartedly. And you can't do it on your terms or my terms or anyone else's. You've got to say, Lord, I'm committing to You. I'm standing right beside You the whole way. And no matter what goes on, I will not be ashamed. I'm telling you, this gospel, the four gospels given to us, I mean, if we would get into the Word and read it and really take it to heart and study it, it will come alive to you. And over time, it will start to change the very fabric of your life. It will change you from the inside out, and people will know that you are a Christian. Now, there's four things I want you to take away from this message today. The gospel message is a message of salvation and hope. Secondly, salvation comes through God's power, not through human effort. Salvation is a free gift received through faith and belief in Jesus Christ. And this message is for all people, and Paul's declaration of his joy in it highlights its importance. So, this message today of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, that call was not just given to pastors. That call was not given to deacons and Sunday school teachers only. There are not certain groups of people exempt from this call. That pertains to every person that comes to Jesus Christ. That charge, go into the world and preach the gospel, that pertains to every single person. So please don't sit there and tell yourself, well, I don't have that doesn't mean, you know, I got my fire insurance in place, I'm okay now. No. Remember, it's a commitment. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and we should not be ashamed either.